Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't forget, you just made the list. Coming up at noon, we'll also talk to Stu Grimson in the third hour of the program. We'll tell you what he is up to. He's got an event he'd like you to know about. And our second installment of trivia coming up at 1 o'clock. Big hit last week, and we knew it would be, and we're going to bring that back again today at 1 o'clock.
I'm going to make my questions easier.
Do what?
I'm going to make my questions a little easier. Okay. Not try and, you know, stump people.
Well, it's, you know, it's a learning curve for you. You have never done it before. Willie and I have much more experience at the trivia portion of things, so you'll be fine. We'll get this down. Not worried. Matt Freegee's on the line with us, former Vanderbilt great on the hardwoods. Matt, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. So what is life like in the Freegee household right now?
It feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. It's getting up every day, and my wife puts the kids through their studies on the internet, and then I do some work. And then we go outside, and they're either playing in the creek that runs through our front yard, or they're shooting hoops. So it's about it. There's not a whole lot else going on.
I know. That basically sums all of us up.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we all feel.
There's got to be a little bit of down feeling, though, in the Freegee circles, because his brother-in-law, Ingle Martin, was eliminated in the first day of competition, was not able to pull the upset. So, Matt, has the group recovered over on your side of town, though? I mean, Engel's got to be a little bit down on his luck.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at our wounds the last couple of days, and then this morning, right before I got on with you guys, I checked it out to see how I was doing, and, you know, I can't even keep it close with Delaney Walker. He's running away with it. So if anybody's listening and hasn't voted yet, I would appreciate just a couple votes just to make it a smaller victory for Delaney, if possible. We don't need it to be so lopsided, especially an 8-9 matchup.
I was going to say, yeah, you know? This is an 8-9 matchup. Come on.
Yeah, it should be close, but it's not.
Well, the good news, Matt, is you've got a lot of time, okay? We don't close things down till 9 o'clock tonight, so a lot of time to vote.
Perfect. Hopefully we can make it at least respectable.
No doubt about it. So what was your most memorable time at Vanderbilt? What stood out to you, if I ask you that question?
So my most memorable time, I mean, most people would probably think that it's just the the NC State game and the last few minutes of the NC State game, and it is, but it's honestly my whole senior year leading up to that point. I was fortunate enough to go to Vanderbilt with some of my best friends, Russell Lakey, Scott Hundley, Martin Schneblitz, they're really my best friends. And, our senior year, you know, after coming off a junior year that was as bad as it was, only 3 AC wins, for us to be able to put together a run to get to the tournament and then to have our run in the tournament, it just made all the work that we had done for 4 years, and especially from the end of our junior year to that time in the NC State game, it just kind of made everything worth it. It was a wild ride. It was a lot of fun. I couldn't have asked to go to school with a better group of guys. Our whole team was full of good guys. You know, after college, going and playing at good places, I always hear about other guys talking about how, you know, this was or how they didn't like certain guys on the team and stuff like that. Our college team was about as close of a unit as I would dare say any basketball team, you know, that at Vanderbilt and maybe anywhere. I mean, we were a very close-knit group, and we loved each other, and we played for each other, and I think it's our senior year and with the way we were able to finish our careers.
Matt, I told the story here recently on the show. Willie and I were an afternoon drive at that point, and we also were that was two of the three members of the radio show. George Plaster, of course, was the other, who you know very well. And, of course, Willie and George are Vanderbilt grads, and I was sent out to Phoenix after you guys had that unbelievable victory over NC State, and you guys were you guys were taking on UConn. I think Syracuse and Alabama were also out there, and I was sitting courtside. You guys came out. In fact, I was sitting next to Michael Wilbon, and you guys come out on the court. And I hate to tell you this story because I remember it so vividly. And I remember UConn came out, and I about dropped my phone. And I went, "Oh my gosh!"
Dropped our jaws when they came out. When he came out, it was funny. We were all doing stretches, and I'm stretching my roommate Martin Schnellitz, who is my best friend in the whole world, and we're stretching, and out comes Omeka. And he looks at me and he goes, "Freej, he's bigger than what I remembered." And I was like, "Yeah, he's pretty big."
Courtside, I've told this story. Like, that team sitting courtside, holy cow. And I had to, unfortunately, call George and call Willie and said, "You guys, I know you're Vandy guys, and I am certainly pulling for Vanderbilt. We want to see this happen." I said, "Guys, this team, this Connecticut team, up close and personal, holy moly."
Oh, yeah. No, they were as close to like an NBA team as it gets in college. I mean, their front line, I mean, they had Omeka, you know, who obviously had a good NBA career. Charlie Villanueva had an excellent NBA career. But Josh Boone, Hilton Armstrong both played in the NBA, and they were both big guys for him. Ben Gordon obviously was a great NBA player. And then, you know, Tariq Brown and Rashad
Villanueva. Didn't they have a guy named Villanueva and another guy, the big guy off the bench that played pro?
Yeah.
Good grief.
They were stacked. It was a bit of a mismatch. You know, obviously it wasn't my finest game. It's the hardest thing for me to ever get over in my entire life is how poorly I played that game. But, you know, they were a phenomenal team. And we talk about it all the time, we joke about it all the time. If we had ran into anybody else other than UConn, you know, we wholeheartedly felt like we were, you know, going to make a run to the Final Four. Now, probably wouldn't have done it, but we like to tell that story and tell everybody that we probably would have.
Didn't Alabama beat Syracuse?
It's actually an honest thought because Alabama went on to
the Elite Eight, and we beat Alabama. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys would have played Alabama if you would have, you know, won or had somebody else because Alabama beat Syracuse.
Yeah, Alabama had a heck of a team that year too. The SEC was stacked that year. You guys probably don't remember, but Mississippi State at one point was vying for a number one seed. Florida was ranked number one at one point. Kentucky was ranked number one at one point. Alabama made it to the Elite Eight. South Carolina had a really good team that made the tournament. There were some really good teams. LSU was a top 25 team. I mean, it was a pretty stacked SEC conference at the time. And, for us to be, you know, to have made the tournament and to have been able to finish 8-8 in that league, I mean, that was – It took a lot of lucky bounces of the ball for us to be able to do that.
Well, just to illustrate how good that UConn team was, it's just amazing to track their scores through. I mean, they won the entire national tournament pretty easily, you know, when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
You know, it was – like, I remember watching – I remember Jeff Jackson, your assistant coach, Matt – he was watching them in the Final Four, the semifinal against Duke. And Okafor got hurt, or not hurt, he got in foul trouble in the first half. I think he got three fouls early or something like that. And they basically sat him the entire first half, or a big part of it. And they still are just hanging with Duke. They're beating Duke. And then, of course, he comes back in the second half and they pull away. But he said, must be nice to have your best player sit the whole first half against Duke and still win.
Yeah, no, they were loaded. I would love to see what their career earnings in the NBA are from that team. I'm sure it's got to be pushing, you know, $150 million. So yeah, they were stacked.
They won by 17 in the first round, 17 in the second round, 20 in the Sweet 16 against you guys, 16 against Alabama. Then in the Final Four, they beat Duke by one. That was the only one that was close. And then, they beat Georgia Tech in the final by nine. But they had, if I remember correctly, they had pretty good control of that game throughout.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that makes me feel better that they beat Alabama by that much as well. So that's after our game, we kind of stopped paying attention to the tournament after that.
I understand that. Well, Matt, we're talking to Matt Freege, number two all-time leading scorer in Vanderbilt history. And let's talk about the game that everybody does remember, Matt, because Josh Cooper, who was covering the team at the time for the school newspaper, and we know Josh, he covered the Predators for a long time. Now he writes for the NHL, for the Athletic out in the L.A. area. But he caught up with you, and he kind of reminisced on the high point of the season. And it's still right there on YouTube for anybody to watch. I know Vanderbilt fans have done it. The anniversary of this game just passed about a week ago when you guys came back and beat NC State down in Orlando. Just an incredible game that will always – it's one of those games that, always define the NCAA tournament, the games that always stick in your mind. But take us back to that game. First, let's talk about going into it, playing NC State that was a 3-seed. And the first thing that really jumped out at me that I hadn't thought about in a long time is you guys ran identical offenses, basically the Princeton back cut – backdoor offense with a lot of handoffs. That really made for an interesting matchup.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. We did run literally the exact same stuff. A lot of the stuff was even had the same calls. So going into the game, it was a pretty easy scout that we knew what they were going to be doing. It was two teams that were very, very similar. We both shot a lot of threes. If we got anything inside the paint, it was a back door, and then you'd steal, because you run so many back doors, they think you're just going to empty out to the other side, and then you hit them with instead of running out to the other side, you turn, you steal, and you post up there. All those little tricks to the offense, and that was the thing. Like, if we ran a special play, we usually did it coming out of a timeout, because if you made the call, everybody knew what was going on. So the little trick or the little wrinkle to it didn't help, because everybody knew what was happening. That's kind of like the last play where Corey got fouled on the layup. The calls is circle, and it was something that we all looked at Coach Stallings to get the call. It wasn't like we came down the floor and were yelling out, circle, 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 It was kind of a silent thing that we all, I would assume kind of like a quarterback with a hand gesture or something.
Yeah.
When they see a coverage and want to, change something, they just give a little hand signal and alert the wide receiver. It's kind of like that. We're all coming down the floor and Coach Stallings gives us a signal and we ran it, and Mario threw a great pass, and Corey Smith with the, finished it off.
Well, here's something I did not know until I read Josh's article. I thought it was a great detail. Because you guys knew the plays so well, Scott Hundley made a huge steal where he basically, he knew what play was coming, so he left his man. You see this sometimes in a football game. A defensive back will leave the guy he's covering because he sees what's developing a play over from him. But he knew what play was coming. He left his man and stole the ball and led Corey Smith down for a huge bucket and a foul in the game. But he was notorious, I guess, for cheating like that in practice, knowing what play was coming.
Yes, he was. So, like, when we were doing our final scout on them that morning, we're going over everything. And Coach Stallings said, he said, you know what, guys? If it's a close game, hell, I'm just going to put Scott in the game. He's going to cheat it, and we're going to come up with a big stop. And he put Scott in the game, and he did exactly that. His guy is literally running away from where the ball is going. And Scott stops, you know, following his guy, stops and just runs to where the ball's going and tips it, and he tips it out to Corey Smith, and that's the play that Corey goes down the court and gets the intentional foul called against him, and then makes those two big free throws, standing at the free throw line by himself. It was just funny that Coach knew, we always had a lot of faith that he put together good game plans and everything, but he was spot on putting Scott in the game at that time, and all that cheating during the year paid off for Scott there at the end.
We're talking to Matt Freege about the 2004 NCAA tournament, and of course Matt is the number 9 seed in our Nashville sports bracket. You can go vote for him. He's up against Delaney Walker in the first round. We've got a lot of great matchups for you today to vote on. So Matt, I mean, for people that don't know about this game, Vanderbilt was down by 10. Down 10, 244, and came back and won in regulation. Matt, there was one shot, and I was sitting on press row behind your bench and really down along the baseline. You hit the first shot. People may not remember, and I didn't remember until I went back and looked. But you guys went ahead, fell behind again, and then came back and got the game-winning play, which I did not remember. But you hit a shot from the corner right in front of me that I swore you were behind the backboard. On. I was like, "How's it? There's no way he's making this. He's going to hit the side of the backboard." But that it was just one of those days, I guess, where by the end you were just feeling it. You knew it, wherever you shot it from, it was going to find a way to go in.
Yeah, the last probably about 4 or 5 minutes of that game, there's it doesn't happen a whole lot, but I mean, I've seen it from you personally, in the morning ball before when you just get super hot and everything that you throw up is just going to go in. It's just, you can't explain it. You're not doing anything really any different than any other time that you play. But for some reason, they're all going in right now. And, that play, coming down the court, all I could think was, and it was honestly, it was the way I was thinking the last 5 minutes of the game was, man, if I touch it, I'm shooting it. And as that play developed, it's funny. Russell Lakey is dribbling the ball to the side, and he's trying to make a pass to Jason Huerta, and he's falling as he's making the pass. And all I'm thinking while I'm standing there is, oh, my gosh, Russ just turned the ball over, And then when it found Jason's hands, it was, okay, I got to get the ball. And Jason found me, and luckily I was able to make it. But, yeah, we went up then, and then we came down, and they called a foul on us, a pretty ticky-tack foul to get them two free throws. And then we came down and ran that circle play and was able to, Corey was able to finish the game off for us.
All right, Matt, one more for me, and then I know Chase has got a question or two for you. But speaking of morning ball, of course, he's referring to the morning basketball game that our buddy Drew Maddox has been orchestrating for a long time. It's evolved from – it used to be a lunchtime game over at Memorial Gym for a lot of us, but now it's gone over – evolved over to CPA, a great bunch of guys, a lot of who's who that's there. But, Matt, how are the ankles right now? Last time I saw you, you were pretty hobbled.
Yeah, no, we're still a little hobbled. It's a work in progress. But it's starting to get a little bit better. I've had two ankle surgeries in about the last 2.5 years. I just don't have like a lot of cartilage left in my ankle, but it's starting to get a little bit better. We're taking it one day at a time, and hopefully I don't know if we'll be back on the basketball floor, actually playing basketball, but just to be able to get on the floor and, demonstrate some stuff to my kids and I coach my kids in the Brentwood Academy Flight League, and just to be able to be out there on the court with the kids and show them stuff and to help coach all those kids, it's a lot of fun and it's rewarding, and hopefully I can keep doing that with the ankle the way it is.
We're talking to Matt Freege, Vanderbilt basketball legend, and your coach Kevin Stallings was there for a long time, and now Jerry Stackhouse just finished his first year. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you saw to him. I know I've gotten a lot of good reviews. We've had people on talking about the buy-in that those players have with him. But as an alum, what did you see out of Stackhouse?
Well, I saw that the team, you know, they didn't give up during the season. You know, they were playing some pretty decent basketball at the end of the year. You know, being able to beat LSU, Alabama, and South Carolina there at the end. That was something that we didn't see the previous year. I think kids were buying into what he was trying to do. You know, it's just going to be a matter of, I think he can coach. I think he just, you know, it's just going to be everybody having patience for him to be able to get guys in there. You know, losing Aaron Nesmith is definitely a big blow to the program. And if we end up losing Saban, that'll be another big blow. And those are your two most productive guys all year, and you got to replace them with somebody. You know, it's not easy to just assume somebody's going to be able to take a larger role. You know, it's not easy for, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr. just to say, okay, now you've got to go do what Saban was able to do, you know, towards the end of the year. You know, it just doesn't quite work that way. So he's got to be able to get some more players in there. And then they've got to be able to be around each other long enough that they can gel and be a team. So it's definitely a work in progress for those guys. I have faith that they can do it. I think what they showed this year that they they're the right guys for the job. We just got to have some patience, and they've got to get some guys in there.
Matt, we're going to end with this. There's no way we can let you off without ending this. I don't remember the year. It was either 2004 or 2005. It was a Friday morning, and I look at my phone, and old Plaz is calling. He's like, Darren, tonight after the show, let's meet you and Willie. Let's go to the rhythm game. Let's go check out a little Nashville rhythm. So the three of us set courtside at the Curb Event Center for a Nashville
rhythm.
This
ought to be worth some votes. This ought to be worth some votes in the competition.
I want people to listen,
because this is Nashville sports history.
They got to be thinking about rhythm time, too. We were 2-0. I mean, that's got to account for some votes.
And put up a lot of points. So the Nashville Rhythm had signed Matt Freege, Dante Jones.
Now this was a version for people that are new to town, a version of the ABA put in.
There was wasn't there you had the red, white, and blue ball, did you not?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Did I just make that up? I thought maybe
the red, I think they had the old ABA ball.
I thought so.
But if you've seen semi-pro, it was very similar to that.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not that far from it.
So you're on there. Dante Jones is on there, and wasn't like Adam Son on there as well?
Yeah,
right?
Adam was on there. Uh-huh.
So Ashley McElhaney is the coach. And for all the new people that are listening that don't remember any of this history of Nashville, all the new people that have moved to our city, we know there's been quite the spike in growth, and there's a lot of people listening that have no idea what we're talking about. But we missed the drama by a night. The next night was when everything went down, when your coach was fired in the middle of the game by, what was it, Sally Anthony, right? Wasn't that the owner? Sally Anthony?
I forgot about that.
And we were there on the Friday night, so we missed it by a night. But what was that experience like, Matt? By the way, it got national attention.
Well, the game itself were actually fun. We were playing against a team from Kansas, and I knew a lot of those guys from, like, high school. Like, Jeff Graves, he played at, like, Lee Summit in Kansas City, and he went and played at Kansas. And we played against each other like every year in high school. So to be able to see like him and some of the other guys, it was like a lot of fun. But, you know, as the game, and I couldn't really tell what was going on during the game. I knew something was going on, but, you know, I was playing, so I was trying not to pay too much attention to it. But then, you know, after the game, they were like, hey, so Ashley got fired and, you know, you got to get out of here. And I was like, okay. And then, they were like, well, here's your check for the two games. You know, I would, you know, get out of here as quickly as possible. So I did.
At least you got paid. There's a lot of leagues like that, Matt. You can attest that you don't get paid, right?
Well, that was the first thing I did the next morning is I went to the bank to cash a check. I was like, man, I'm not going to give this a day or two. First thing I did, I woke up 8 a.m., drove right to the bank. So, no, it was good. It was a lot of fun. You know, all the guys that were on the team for our team, too, you know, I played against all of them in college. And, you know, play pickup with them in the summertime up at Vandy. So, I mean, the games themselves were a lot of fun. And I knew Ashley. I went to school to Ashley for, I think, two years. And for those that don't
great
know,
player.
Ashley was, yeah, oh, she was phenomenal. She
yes.
was, you know, Vandy's all-time leading assist for women. Coach Stallings would joke that he'd rather have him on the basketball team than the point guards that he had. So she was really good and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it really was. I wish it, you know, didn't end the way that it did. And I wish it would have been something that, you know, we could have played like the whole season and stuff, but it really was a lot of fun.
And Matt is not kidding for, it was that Friday night. I don't remember what the final was. I swear. I think I remember you guys putting like 150 or something. I mean, it was ridiculous. You put up.
Yeah.
It was designed for offense, no question.
Yeah, I mean, it was just go down and just jack shots. And, you know, I had just got cut from the New Orleans Hornets. So I literally just drove all night to get up to Nashville. And then we had practice that afternoon, like a shoot-around, and then we played the game. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know, from going from, you know, sitting the bench and on the NBA and not really getting to play in the games too much to, you know, playing the entire game and just shooting whatever shot I wanted to. It was nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for doing this. It's good to talk to you again. You and the family be safe and let's not wait so long to do this again.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. It's good talking to you guys. And hey, Nashville, go out and vote. Come on. Let's make this a little bit closer than what it is right now.
Look, if that Nashville Rhythm story doesn't get you some votes, I don't know what will, you know?
No doubt.
Matt, thank you for doing this.
All right, thanks, guys.
Matt Freege, Vanderbilt legend, for sure. If you watched him play, he was awesome. He was a fun guy to watch, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.